So this is Luke 10, 27 through 38. This is a very famous passage. And behold, a lawyer stood up to him, to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered right. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." As I said, I'm going to read one of the, some of you who were here remember when we got these handouts each week. This is from November 11th, 2007, and the title is "Figuring Out What Is Good." And it's a little tiny print. So, it starts with the realization of wrong, with a sense of how things might be improved. "Hey, wait a minute. Why are we doing it like this? Why not do it like that?" It starts with waking up, with awareness, with mindfulness, with seeing what is going on and imagining how things might go instead. It starts with questioning the legitimacy of the way things are, with close inspection of the status quo. We all step into a world that was there before us, and we look around. The future hinges on what happens then. We step into the experience of how things are and look things over. Then what? A lot of us simply take our place in the spot provided for us and live out our lives. But I wonder if all of us, there might not be a moment when we are tempted to say, "Hey, wait a minute. Why are we doing it like this? Why not do it like that?" And maybe the conditions don't favor the question, so it doesn't last long with us, and we take our place and live out our lives. I wonder if the question doesn't rise up in all of us and live on in some of us, but not in others. I expect we all have the capacity to imagine a better world, a better future, a better life than the one that actually exists. We can imagine an ought to be that is different from the way things are, and that is better than the way it is. And some of us are bitten by the bug of change and transformation, and some of us settle into doing what is expected and acting like we are supposed to. Some of us are smacked by society or by our parents or for daring to question the nature of things and respond by dropping our heads and never looking again into the eye of the beast. Some of us are smacked and look for ways of smacking back. The process of change and transformation is as magical as anything I know of. I have never changed anyone's mind by being nice and accommodating and suggesting here and there that maybe they could think differently about things. and I have never changed anyone's mind by being in their face and calling them stupid and asking how in the world they could tie their shoes and think like they do. I have never changed anyone's mind, and you probably have not either. Yet minds are changed all the time. How does this happen? It's magic. Do we make waves or keep things in place? Do we tiptoe around sleeping giants or yell in their ear? Do we walk lightly on eggshells or stomp our way through objections and opposition in response to a more compelling concern? What is the good we call good? Whose good is served by the good we serve? We sacrifice what for the sake of what? In light of what shall we live? The best strategy I have come up with over time for changing minds, society, civilization, and the way the world works is to say no to that which must be opposed and yes to what must be supported, and keep that up constantly while things take their course. I think it is important to ask the question about what is good and what makes us think so and what we can think of what might be better. I think it's important to make conscious the decision to live toward one thing and away from another. To serve the status quo or to turn over the apple cart. We should think about that. And we should help one another do what we have to do. That is the third thing. Some of us leave home because staying would kill us. And some of us stay because leaving would kill us. We have to know what we have to do, and we have to help one another do it. Those who cannot denounce and dismiss and despise, those who go cannot denounce and dismiss and despise those who stay. And those who stay cannot shun and ostracize and excommunicate those who leave. We do not serve the same idea of good. There is no settling down or settling in. There is only one path after another. There is following this path out and choosing other paths which open from this one. One thing leads to another. One path leads to the next path. There is no ending. Everything is a continuation, an extension, an unfolding, an evolution of something else. We cannot freeze the action, suspend the animation, and stay where we are. At the same time, we cannot strain to be beyond where we are. The course of our lives has its own pace. Waiting is also preparation, incubation. We are nurturing the future into being by being open to and present with the fullness of the here and now. Readiness is more than wanting. It is making use of what is available to us, using what is offered to make the most of the moment and follow the faint trails to more than we can imagine. We ride the moment to our own unveiling, and we are as surprised as anyone at the disclosure, the revelation. It is not, we are not, what we had in mind. And yet, of course, it is, we are, exactly what it has been, what we have always been. Mystery, miracle, surprise, wonder. Always unfolding into ourselves, we become who we are and know ourselves for the first time with a jolt of recognition and the jubilation of reunion and resurrection. God is not a fact. Wrigley Field is a fact. The space shuttle is a fact. Dirty laundry is a fact. Beauty is not a fact. Liberty is not a fact. God is not a fact. Once we stop thinking of God as an invisible fact, things begin to change. The fact is that we cannot talk of God at all. We can only talk of our idea of God, of our experience of what seems to us to be God, which is our experience of our idea of God. Any statement made about God, including all of these, simply reflects the idea of God of the person who makes the statement. When Jesus says, if indeed he did say, the Father and I are one, that was his idea of God. And if I say, that statement is no more true of Jesus than of any of us, than all of us, that is simply my idea of God. We are quite free to say, Jesus was one with God and was God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father from the very beginning. But that will only be your idea of God and Jesus and the very beginning. And you are quite free to exclude me from your presence because my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. Go away from us, you might say. You have stinky thoughts. But without me and others like me in your presence, it will be easy for you to forget that your idea of God is not God and begin to worship your idea of God as God, which is nothing less than idol worship, confusing who we think God is or who we want God to be or who we wish God were with God. We need all of the voices at the table in order to have a chance of hearing the truth revealed, exposed by all the voices. When the only voices at the table are the voices that say the same thing, that sing the same song, we can only hear what we have heard and lull ourselves to sleep with the drone of steady jabber. The incitement and inspiration of honest conversation breaks the spell of hypnotic trance and introduces novelty, originality, and diversity into the mix, wakes us up, and makes insight possible. Things begin to stir. Something new is born. Saying as much of the truth as we see is a step on the way to seeing deeper truth, seeing deeper into truth. Being afraid to say as much of the truth as we see freezes us in place and blocks the unfolding of the vision. God is the elephant in the room. We can only talk about God in the language of the past. We can only say what we are supposed to say about God. We can only think what we are supposed to think. We cannot say what seems to be true. We can only say what has been said to be true. If we ever had the courage to unblock the vision, we probably would be blinded by the light.